Scripture reading today is from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 3 through 5. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of another.
Good morning. Our numbers are down just a little bit this morning. Several people are sick that normally are here, and so but that's kind of the basis of what I'm going to be talking about over the next couple of months as I have this early talk. It's no secret that over the last few years, especially after COVID, our numbers have gotten smaller during that time, and I think Mike references us and says that we're down to basically the core. I think that's what Mike will say. You know, the people that we know Sunday after Sunday are going to be here on Sunday mornings, at least at this early service. And pretty much all of us are here if we're not sick. So as far as I can tell, the core and really just all the people that do come together, even in the later service, as far as I can tell, we all get along, we all tend to care for each other and enjoy each other's company, and honestly I feel we do love each other in that regard. And when you're smaller in number, it's a little bit easier to be together. And so togetherness is a topic that I'm going to focus on for the next couple months, that even though we are small in number, there are advantages that we still do have because we are so tight and so close. There are many passages that talk about things that we are to do together. There are passages that tell us to do things with one another, and we're going to look at those passages to encourage us that even though we all are small in number, we all are striving to be part of the same family based in Christ that we've been called and commanded to be, and how we can take advantage of that by the togetherness that we have. So in the Romans passage that Andy has read for us this morning there in Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul declares that we are members of one another. The idea of being members of one another really means that we are connected. We're connected through a common faith, a common bond, not much unlike an earthly family. All families have individuals, but they're members of one another. We may be individual people, but we've got brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, so forth, that does join us together. And so that's a mental picture we can have of how we are members of the family of the church. But we're all individuals, we're many members, but we are members of one another. And so this picture in regards to the church of being a family is also given to us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. When you think of a household, that's typically where families live together. And that is the picture that here in Ephesians we are to take from that we are all members and saints living in the same household. But being members of one another means there must be a dramatic change about how we think about each other in the room if we are not truly being that way, and about how we think about the church. The church is not a social club. We aren't having potlucks in our you know, in our meeting hall, we're not having festivals. We're inviting the public to come try to knock me into a thing of water, which that wouldn't end well. I don't like water in that regard. So we're not doing that. It's not a hobby. It's not something that we are just doing because we enjoy that it's a pastime of ours. We all have hobbies that we enjoy, and it is not, that's not what we are here. We are a family. We are together. We are members of one another. We're connected through that bond that I mentioned. And so this is the picture that is in Romans chapter 12, 3 through 5 that Andy read for us. And also, if you are interested, similar thoughts and words are used in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. For sake of time this morning, we will not read that, though. We are actually probably going to end a little early since we got a little bit of an early start. But those are two passages, 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4, 25. Now, being members of one another means that we are interdependent, not independent. There are some letters in there that make a big difference between the two ideas. A Christian individually cannot function and be a successful Christian. We can't be a Christian in isolation, unless, of course, we're forced to. People have been shipwrecked and so forth, but those are the exception, not the rule. In a normal setting, a Christian cannot worship on their own and be effective and be acceptable. We are not meant to function that way as a Christian. We live in a time and a culture where independence is very much thought of. We, and when I say we, I'm meaning the societal we. We do, you know, generally don't want or need anyone else. We do things on our own. We do not want people in our lives. We don't seek out help. We heard the other day a phrase that it takes 10 minutes of a woman pleading for her husband to ask for directions because we don't want to talk to people. Of course, it's a little bit easier now with GPS and so forth, but I think we're all old enough to know prior to GPS, it was difficult sometimes. You had to ask for directions. We don't like to do so. We don't want to be typically joined to anything that would bring us and make us dependent upon others. And so many times, a lot of times the only friends or the only interaction some people have is if you might write a post on Facebook and someone might like it. And that's the closest interaction some people get to any kind of joining with someone else. But the New Testament knows nothing about this idea of being independent Christians. I did, just as an aside, I did that class, it was pre-COVID, so 3 or 4 years ago, talking about why people are leaving organized church, structured worship. And they're called the nuns and the duns, people that they never joined and people that used to join and then are now isolating. They're being Christians on their own, and we talked about how that is just not a biblical concept. And Christians in the New Testament are always pictured as being together. Even when Paul was traveling, he took someone with him. It's not easy, it's not expected to be that isolationist type of a Christian. And so we are to be joined together and be members of one another. There's so many scriptures that press us to see that we're members together that it would be hard to ignore that, and it would be hard to fight against that. And so we're going to talk about a few of those passages that talk about us being together, not only today, but in the months to come. Notice that the very first picture of Christians that we have in the New Testament does focus upon this togetherness. In Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 47, this is after the day of Pentecost and after the first Christians were called and were baptized, we're told about how they interacted with each other, starting at verse 44 of Acts 2. "And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." It says here that they were together. And they had all things in common. Now, I don't think they're meaning things about hobbies or having the same interest. They had all things in common. That is what was bringing them together, having this faith that Jesus had come and actually lived for them and died for them. That's what they had in common. That's the togetherness that brought them together. It says they spent time together in the temple worshiping, and they spent time in their homes eating together and spending time with the other. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul tells the Corinthians that they were called to be saints together. In Romans chapter 15, verse 6, Paul told the Christians there in Rome to live in harmony so that with one voice they would and could glorify God. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and at four different times he told them that they were to come together and take the Lord's Supper. And so, and in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul told the Ephesians that they were made alive together with Christ, not separately, but together. And a few sentences later in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, he told them that they were all to be joined together and built together into this holy temple to the Lord. And so Paul does a very good job of over and over again just emphasizing this need and requirement for Christians to be tightly, almost knit together, that we have the common bonds and the common faith, and that brings us together. Nowhere will you find a scripture that is telling you to not be enjoined with each other. This concept of a self-sufficient, disconnected Christian does not exist. So as we come back to Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, Paul describes us as one body with many members. Taking that in the comparison, the analogy that's being used with a body, we all are familiar with what bodies are and the different parts. There is no self-sufficient body part. There's no disconnected body part that can live on its own. Matter of fact, a disconnected body part is usually a bad thing. Insurance, I'm sure Micah sold lots of dismemberment policies, life and limb, because that is a big thing. You have insurance about that, because if you would lose an arm or lose a leg or whatever part that would be, that is a huge impact in the overall health and ability of the body. And so you do not want a disconnected arm or foot any more than you want to be a disconnected Christian, because in the human body, the arms don't work independently for each other. The body can't be disconnected. The body has to work together and be connected to work together to function properly. And so what can we do to make sure that we are always connected and not be an independent body? So in Romans 12, Paul tells us how this all begins to change, or how it should be the mindset that we have. In Romans 12, the first verse that Andy read, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Paul says to not think about yourself more highly than you ought to think, but you ought to go into your life with sober thinking. We need to think rightly about ourselves, but not to the point where it's taking advantage of or to the detriment of someone else. We need to think properly about who we are and how we fit in this family, the spiritual family. We need to think about how proper thinking and sober-mindedness has a great impact on the family staying together. Jesus set our minds to right thinking on his Sermon on the Mount. He said, those who are poor in spirit mourn over their unrighteousness and hunger and thirst for righteousness. And those that do, those are those who belong in the kingdom. And since Christ is always our standard for how we are to think about ourselves and how we are to live our lives, Paul puts these same concepts together in his Philippian letter. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 7, he writes, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So Paul says to have this mind. Think about others, not yourself, just like Jesus did, who emptied himself and came down and sacrificed himself for us, was a servant to us. And so this is how we can be members of one another. There's no way for us to be a family in Christ if we're not living this way. That if we only think about ourselves, if we're, as Paul says here in Philippians, the selfish ambition or conceit, if we have that when we're together, then that's not going to bring, that's not going to result in togetherness with each other. Obviously, this isn't an issue with us here today, but if we show up late or we miss services or only come for the second service, if we don't teach, if we don't, you know, evangelize to our friends and so forth, if this isn't something that we're doing together because we think about ourselves, well, that's where the issue is. Obviously, like I said, this isn't too much of a concern for those of us here today, but we're tired. Shelley said this morning, she goes, how could I have slept so long and still wake up so tired and everything? We're all tired. We all would have rather have slept in this morning, but we realize this is where we need to be. It might not have been convenient for us to have come here this morning. It could have been a bad snowy, you know, we have snowy mornings, but we still come in and so forth. We make the effort to come together because we do share this bond. And so just getting back, if your left hand needed the help of your right hand and your eyes, and the right hand and the eyes refused to help, well, that's not going to be very efficient. And so we have to be here, we have to be among each other for that to occur. But there are those among us that are not here at this time, and so they are separating themselves for this early service and so forth. But it's something that we need to work on, having this togetherness at all times. And so as we go into the next few months, we'll talk more deeply about this, but just where we're going and what we've kind of talked about this morning in conclusion, that we have to be concerned about others. We can't focus only on ourselves. You can't leave here and say, well, I didn't get anything out of this morning. Because if you're working towards each other, for each other, then that's what you're getting out of it. If you're helping others, if you're participating in wanting others to be getting something out of it, you have to make that effort. It's not the attitude that we have. We belong together, and shouldn't be here for you because we are together. You're here for everyone else. Having encouragement, having the display of faith, working together in love and supporting each other. And this means that we don't neglect each other. We're here and we're encouraging each other. We do it together, even when we're tired, even when it's inconvenient, even when it may be uncomfortable. But we can't think about ourselves. We have to come together for each other. And so we must think of ourselves as this body joined together. And we have to make choices not on Sunday that reflect that, and make choices on Monday through Saturday that shows the world that this is what's important to us, and that togetherness will become stronger. At this time, Brother Bragg has the prayer, and after that, we'll have a short break, and then we'll begin our class.